This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. The Kanjels is the Malaysian Advertising Industry Awards, and this year, in a bid to expand and redefine itself, the awards is introducing a two-day creative festival that will be held as a precursor. Joining me today to talk more about how a creative festival fits in with advertising are the Kanjels 2018 Creative Council Chairman Alvin Theo and Deputy Creative Council Chairman Iskar Hashim. Thank you for joining me. How are you guys today?
Yes, good, good. It's nice to be here. Yeah,
thanks.
So I'm curious about this idea of a creative festival that is sort of couched as happening right before the Kanjels,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
What exactly is going to happen at this festival?
Oh, that's like a long story. I think the ad industry has always been part and parcel of the creative industry. But for the longest time, we've been doing things by ourselves. So we looked at everything through the lens of ad land, so to speak, right? But we also realized that for the past many, many, many years, right, a lot of creativity is... you can see a lot of creativity in different industries, you know, especially in journalism these days, you know, in anthropology and with all kinds of different people that we're speaking to, people who are tech background, people who volunteer to be teachers, people who work with NGOs in the streets and using social media to create awareness and stuff. And you can see everybody's using creativity in some way or another to express the things that they believe in. And so we saw a need for... this collaboration to happen, to break down these walls of advertising that is kind of confining us sometimes, and maybe to not look at the rules of advertising so much and say, oh, you can do this, you can't do that, this is the right way, this is the wrong way, but maybe the right question to ask is, what is the best way? And as long as you create something that means something to people, that make people feel something so that they can respond to what you're trying to do, then maybe that's not a bad thing. So that's why we thought we needed a festival to just get mostly people from outside the ad industry together to just celebrate one thing that we have in common, our humanity and our creativity. So, yeah, that's how the festival came to be. Yeah.
So you're calling it a festival.
Uh-huh.
What is going to happen in these 2 days?
It's going to be chaotic. Yeah,
the best ones usually are, right?
Yeah, because I mean, we are creative people, right? We're not the best managers and organizers of things, but we just have like a dream or a feeling or a vision of stuff, and then we just, let's do this. And then we realize like, oh my God, what did we get ourselves into? But I think what you expect to see at the festival is just a collaborative effort of many, many different people from different backgrounds and industries and ideas and age groups and whatever, just coming to share ideas and inspire each other. I think what we're trying to do is to get everybody to just network with each other, to talk, to learn, to unlearn, to destroy old habits, form new ones, you know, merge things together. So there'll be a lot of, there'll be 16 to 17 keynote talks. There'll be exhibitions. There'll be experiential stuff. We just want people to meet and mingle. And we want marketeers to come also so that they can also be part of the conversation to see how they can look at their brands again and find new ways to express themselves and not be afraid of change and not be afraid of differing opinions and not be afraid of the things that are alien to us, because that's the only way to move forward, right? Yeah, we don't have all the answers, right? But we are trying, we're trying. Yeah.
The speakers part of it, the keynote series, is going to be a paid-for segment.
Yeah.
Are there also sections that are open to the general public?
Yeah. The keynote section is paid for, but the rest of the festival is open to public for, if I'm not mistaken, day pass of 50 ringgit. There's exhibitions of all the awards that have been submitted, exhibitions from different artists and photographers who are we've invited. There are tech companies there, or little tech companies, tech agencies. There are people who are like NGOs, like Dialogue in the Dark and all that. A whole bunch of people there just exhibiting their stuff and sharing what they do with the public and with the industry. Yeah.
And how much of this is perhaps not rebranding, but rather reimagining or redefining what the Kanjels can be?
Well, annually we've had the Kanjel Awards, so it's been around for a long time. It's always been a celebration of the work that we've done the past year, you know. So we celebrate the great work and sort of honour the creative people behind it. And it's been like that every single year. And it's still going to be that. But we wanted to do it a bit more than that. You know, it's not just about the celebration of what we've done, but through this festival, through the speakers and exhibitions about what we can become also, you know, to be inspired. It's that one time in a year where we get all ad agencies people together. So instead of just getting drunk and celebrating, maybe we can do a bit more than that, you know. So it's a bit more meaningful. It's not just, you know, a celebration of the past work, but hopefully inspire us to look at things differently.
Who are some of the people that you will be featuring in the festival? People who are not ad people.
Yeah. A whole bunch. We have this guy from... he's from Karachi, but he works out of New York. His name is Bassam Tariq.
Mm-hmm.
He's an amazing documentary maker. I think one of his most awarded work or his famous work is called These Birds Walk. Amazing guy. Then you have people like Anil Deepak, who used to be in an ad agency, DDB Mudra, who's formed his own little outfit. He calls himself a creative wrecking ball and doesn't recognize boundaries. You have people like Stella Su from Hong Kong, and she's a doodle artist that wants to conserve heritage in Hong Kong, and she uses her art to create an awareness for things that are lost. Beautiful, beautiful work from Stella Su. And then you have the local guys too. You have people like Fahmi Fazil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs no introduction, but he's the communications in charge of communications for Kaadelan, right? And so he knows a bit about branding and narrative, and we invited him. He says, sure, okay. Real down-to-earth guy. And then you have Edin Koo, who is, of course, you know him as the founder of Pusaka, and his work in preserving culture and to create that conversation with the masses about the diversity of our culture and what it means for us and all this stuff. I think he's a great guy to have on board, because that's what Malaysians are. We are just this diverse bunch of people doing stuff, right? And there's so much we can learn from him. So these are just some of the people that you'll be engaging with at the talk. We also have a spoken word artist from Nigeria, Kafayat.
Kafayat Kadri, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. She was on TED before and all that. So this different bunch of people sharing all their work and their passions and their beliefs and all that, yeah.
And as people who have been in the ad industry for so many years yourselves, what do you foresee that you will be gaining from mingling and speaking to these people who do things that are very, very different from what you do?
I think maybe the things that they're doing is not so different after all. I think how they express themselves is very different, and that's okay, because I think humans are just a diverse bunch of people, and we all have our different likes and different pursuits and all kinds of stuff. But I think when you meet a person who is passionate about what he does or she does, and they express it in a creative way, that itself is what makes us the same. And I think advertising industry can benefit so much from people like that, because advertising is not supposed to be a form that's locked down. Like, you know, these days, because we are so uncertain about things, we always rely on these things called best practices of fill in the blanks, right? Mm. But these best practices are best practices, but if everybody's on the same list of best practices, then you are just mass producing the same stuff again and again and again, and that's not creativity. Creativity is an organic force that reinvents itself, that looks at things differently, that keeps evolving, and sometimes it's quite wild, it's hard to control, and it's out there, it's outside of advertising, it's inside of advertising, and advertising and also people from other industries will benefit so much if we just collaborated more and have conversations and everything. I think it's a mutual beneficial thing also. Like, for example, when we go and speak to NGOs, or we speak to tech people, or we speak to journalists, we go with an open mind and as much humility as we can foster, and we're trying to learn from them. And what we learn is they're also trying to learn from us, and that's something that we never expected, because we always thought that, oh, these guys are doing great work. We want to hear what they're about. And then they start sharing their stuff with us, and we're like, well, guess who's the teacher here? You know, it's not us. You know, it was never us. I think we're all teachers and we're all students at the same time. And so the more people we meet, the more ideas we're exposed to, especially differing ideas, right? The more your mind expands. And then I think the human mind is an amazing thing, right? It has this thing called curiosity and restlessness, and you're like, wow, like, what can I do with that, right? And that kind of question is actually very, very healthy for anybody in the creative field, because it's this constant questioning of what if, what happens when, and why not, right? These three questions, it's amazing. I'm, like, really excited, you know, like hell. Yeah.
Yeah, I think essentially people in the ad industry, definitely the creative people. We're all storytellers. It's just a different form. Yeah. You know, we're telling stories for our brands. We're trying to make people connect with our brands in a very human way, in a very real way. So I think interacting or learning from other storytellers would always hone our craft and open us to new possibilities. You know, I think different people, agencies are already working with artists in different forms. You know, we're collaborating with them. It could just be to commission work, or it could be to actually ideate and come up with something. You know, so I think it's not new, but now we're sort of, you know, formalizing it, you know, in a space where we can all just share ideas. Yeah.
So here's where maybe for people like me who, because I come from a journalism background, there's always a sort of, in our minds, a disconnect between the ad industry and things like journalism and the arts and even perhaps documentary filmmaking, because what you do, quote unquote, is often viewed as being driven by profit, driven by client requests.
It still
like
is.
That. Yeah. Whereas the other side of the so-called divide tends to be viewed as being not so driven by those forces. Mm-hmm. Now, wouldn't there be a sort of fundamental disconnect, or wouldn't it be at odds to bring these people together?
I think there's a middle ground that we all avoid. We always look at things like it's black or white, right or wrong, good or bad, front or back, north or south, right? But I think there's a gray area where you can do both. You can kill 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 birds with one stone. You see, advertising has always been viewed as it's a commercial thing, right? We sell brands. Brands get people to buy the stuff. They make money. They make profits. They have... I mean, we are all trying to make a living here. We're trying to make profit. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just do it properly, right? But if you look at for the past 20, 30 years, there's an evolution. Maybe we haven't seen it a lot because evolution is very slow, right? Brands are beginning to understand that instead of giving you value, we can also push values. Instead of seeing people as customers, we should see customers as people. Because if you look at customers just as customers, then you're looking at them as cash cows, right? But if you look at them as people, people with feelings, people who are walking on this epic journey called humanity, people who have their, not unlike you and I, then we start to recognize that, hey, there's some form of sensitivity and respect that needs to be given to these people. And the next question is, yeah, we still want to make money and we have to, right? What do these people want? Can we give them more than just a product or a service? And if you look at advertising, especially in the West and in more developed countries and also in Malaysia, we're beginning to move that way. A lot of marketeers are beginning to give back some degree to humanity. They are using advertising techniques to address issues like racism, equality, pedophilia, you know, and all the stuff that's wrong on the planet or in families, in the societies, or even trying to get people to be more compassionate, more merciful, encourage dialogue. And brands are putting their money behind all these things. Just at the end of the day, society has moved to a point where they're not just interested in buying products, right? And I hope society don't go to a place where all they're interested is in buying products, because I'm also on the receiving end of advertising and marketing and all that stuff. But I think society is going to a place where they want to find things that has some meaning. I know I'm going to sound like some Hallmark Channel promoting and I'm all altruistic. I'm not, right? I'm just trying to find balance in all these things. But I think at the end of the day, people just want to believe in something that's good. And people just want to engage in something that they feel that this is like a representative of my beliefs. That's how you affirm people, right? You affirm, like, if you believe in compassion, then maybe if a brand stands up for compassion as part of their marketing, it's never 100% pure, right? Let's be very honest with that, and that's okay. Just don't be dirty about it. If you have a power of influence, if you have a platform where you could spread goodness, right, why don't you use it? And I think that's where the conversation needs to go to, brands, marketeers, advertising industry, comms industry, film industry, anyone who's in the creative industry, and, you know, just come and talk about these things, because we can do so much. And we've seen amazing work done on the planet in Malaysia where creativity is used to solve problems. That's where we're at. So we're at this place where we're having this conversation now. You know, it's a very interesting place to be in, a very interesting time to be alive, you know. Yeah.
Well, we need to go for a quick break. But when we come back, I really like to talk more about this idea of creativity and how different people in different industries can actually collaborate, because your theme is essentially about collaboration and humanity. I'm speaking to Alvin Theo and Iska Hashim, who are Creative Council Chairman and Deputy Creative Council Chairman of the Kanchils 2018, the Local Advertising Industry Awards. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to Alvin Theo, who is Creative Council Chairman for the 2018 Kanchil Awards, and Iska Hashim, who is Deputy Creative Council Chairman. The Kanchils are the Local Ad Industry Awards, and we're talking about a brand new creative festival that is being introduced this year alongside the main awards itself. So before we went on break, we spoke a little bit about the potential for advertising to reach beyond just selling a product. But I suppose one of the things that would be perhaps problematic in some ways, and we've seen some of this happening with the Kanchils itself, which is this notion of making those ads or creating those campaigns for the sole purpose of winning awards, basically. So commodifying a cause or commodifying artistic ideas because it nets you that award, it nets you a reputation. And this certainly has happened to the Kanchils in the past as well.
Yep.
How do you, this year, when you know, when you're looking at maybe redefining what the awards are, how do you contend with these charges and these kind of issues that seem to have plagued the awards for a while?
Okay, we knew that this interview will reach to. We kind of know, because every journalist we've spoken to would bring this up, right? Number one, I think, number one, I'm not innocent in my early days. I don't know about Iska. Maybe Iska is the only innocent one here. In my junior days, I've done scams before. And I think a lot of us have been involved in scams or whatever you call it, you know. But over the years, we realized that doing scams alone and celebrating it, right, it does not do us any justice. In fact, it is a great injustice to the people who are actually putting in their so much of work and effort into solving real issues and stuff. But it's something that we had to just get off our backs, maybe, you know, or maybe we didn't know better. But I think the wake-up call for me and personally is when we saw, it's not just a Malaysian problem, it's a worldwide problem. If you look at all the award shows around the planet, right, there are a lot of respectable people in the creative industry that are speaking out against it more and more, you know, and it's very interesting. And they realize that it doesn't do us justice, because at the end of the day, right, what are you trying to say? If you're just creating work for the sake of winning awards, it's delusional. You're living in a bubble, and the bubble, it has already popped. If people haven't realized that yet, then welcome to the real world, right? People are not paying for services that comes from a group of people that's only interested in celebrating their own creativity or themselves. Because creativity is at the service of something else, something bigger than itself. Creativity for its own sake is fine art, and that's not what we are in. That's not what we're here for. So I think there is an awakening, and it's a gradual awakening that has been happening over the years. It's not something that we're trying to change now. We've been trying to change it for many years, but maybe we haven't been strong, we haven't been united, we haven't been clear about our goals. And we understand where the pressure comes from, and sometimes you just close one eye, allow people to do what they need to do. But at the end of the day, it's damaging for the entire industry. And I think it's like a second wake-up call. We need to be more, we need to speak out more strongly against these practices, you know. I think the elimination of scams has been going on for many years, and I think it's not a new thing, and that's good news. And I think from last year's entries and this year's entries, we can see that these things are really, really going down. And that's not a bad thing. And it's something that we needed to do, because clients themselves are speaking out against it, right? And these are the people we rely on to pay our bills, you know? So it's good. It's good. So it's good that we keep speaking about these things and not hide it, you know, put it under the carpet, so to speak.
What are some of the more concrete steps that have been taken to eliminate scam entries, as they're called?
Yeah, I think, first of all, right, the conversation about scams is very, very frequent among all the ECDs. So, number one, everyone's kind of on the same page already, you know. And because we've done it before a long time ago, a few years back, and you know, occasionally when we call it itchy backside syndrome, we just needed to get it off our chest, right? we can smell a scam a mile away, because it takes one scammer to see another scammer, to be very honest with you. And we're all very aware. We can spot it, and we just tell people, hey, I don't think that's right, and things like that. So I think that there is also an unspoken pressure, and there's a lot of self-elimination happening now. So a lot of ECDs that are coming to these shows, they're very aware and very careful of the things that they are producing,
I think so. When it comes to, let's say, your pro bono or cause campaigns, I think it's a very different environment right now. It's not an easy pass to get an award, because it's actually extremely competitive. And when you look at the global work, there's amazing work out there, and it's driven by real human insights, and it's supported with results also. So, that's how we also evaluate work. It can't just be a piece of content that is just uploaded on YouTube and that's all it is, We're looking for actual, behavioral change, some results. So those are some of the things. Like a lot of the work right now, the entries are all available online. So we post everything online for the public or other agencies to take a look. And if they suspect anything, they can flag the work. And then, the council will, investigate. And we've also created a category specifically for cause-related campaigns. It's Councils for Good.
Right.
Yeah. And again, just as a lot of the other award shows overseas, it's also not just a piece of work, but it's, we look at, does it actually drive any results or any behavioral change? So that's part and parcel, So they're those sort of filters, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's this other thing also. Like, we understand why people scam. I'm not justifying it or defending them, but sometimes some people have this great idea, right? And no one wants to buy it, so they go and create it out of passion, out of love, because it's really fun to produce stuff that you really like, right? So we understand that, and that's also kind of like creativity, but maybe for its own sake. But it's still creativity of some sort, right? And we want to recognize that. So we were also toying with the idea of, let's open a new category called non-commissioned work, right? So if you want to scam, go ahead, but let's call it what it is, mm-hmm. right? Don't pretend that, this brought in great results. A poster behind a toilet door doesn't cure cancer, so don't pretend that it does, But there are still great ideas that are unharnessed, and we need to give people an outlet. So maybe we can create, moving forward, a category called non-commissioned work.
So that hasn't been introduced this year.
We wanted to introduce this year, but we were just tripping on ourselves doing too many things. But next year, non-commissioned work, and we're going to tell all clients, this section is called non-commissioned work. It's just raw ideas. Go in there and buy something. Let's legalize these things,
On that line, in the advertising industry, obviously the client side of things is very important. Being paid for your work is very important. These are not things that are viewed often with a lot of... this is often viewed with at least a little bit of suspicion from people on the other side of the creative divide, as we spoke earlier, right? Mm. So when it comes to engaging people from the arts, engaging people from journalism, how do you then avoid commodifying that kind of work that they do? Because the moment you start saying, let's draw on work that's being done in the arts industry, or let's draw on work that's being done in documentary or journalism, but then you're putting it in service to a brand, isn't that some amount of losing control of what that original work was?
I think to commodify the arts, right, is more of, I don't know if I don't know if I'm getting it right. I think it's more of a marketeer's, they have the power to do that, not us. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we are storytellers. We are creating narratives, and we're looking for ideas and techniques and methods to tell stories. And you can tell stories through documentary, you can tell stories through poetry. You can tell stories through music and the arts. We're just using these techniques, learning from these people how to reach people and get them to feel stuff for the things that we want to do. And this is a very grey answer for a very grey question, because I think at the end of the day, it's also up to the individual. Mm. I think you use your conscience as a guide. You don't manipulate the arts for things that are wrong, for example. You don't manipulate the arts just for the soul of making money. But you look at the arts as a means to do something that matters to people to some degree. And you have to be very honest about ourselves. We are working for marketeers. We are in marketing, and it's commercial. So we have to find that balance there, you know. We can't say that we are not commercial, let's be pure, and then say, oh, because we are selling stuff, let's avoid the arts. I don't think we can go there because, I don't know, the arts is just people having different talents and expressing themselves in a peculiar way. And it works on so many levels. And we're all part and parcel of this bunch of people too, so we can harness from each other. But yeah, I think it's a question that can only be answered by each individual. And we hope everybody's just using their conscience as a guide. You know, there's a lot of community sustainable projects and all those kinds of things. You know, people looking at dying arts and culture and finding, like, how do you sustain it? Because at the end of the day, they need money too, right? To sustain communities, to have livelihoods and all that stuff. Can we do something? Can we collaborate so that these communities benefit too? You know, they share with us the arts. We collaborate with them, but we make sure that they also benefit from this collaboration. Then I think it's fair.
So one of the things that I noticed was that, so you're calling it a festival, but in some ways I wonder, because the keynote series itself is actually, it is not accessible to like a large amount of people. It's I think you're limiting it to 300 delegates and costs about upward of 2,000 ringgit, I think, to be able to attend all the talks. Mm-hmm. So that part of it is in many ways sort of industry exclusive, the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. It's,
I suppose, struggling to wrap my head around why call it a festival at all? Because what most people would look at as a festival mm-hmm. is something that's open to everyone, everyone can attend, and there's something, for most people, sort of a more egalitarian event, I suppose.
I think, first of all, from the organizer's point of view, it takes a lot of money to put something like this together. We're not at a place where we can give it out for free yet, you know. And trust me, because we are all ECDs here, we're all debating about fees. We are like trying to lower the fee, and the people who are paying for it, it's like, you guys don't understand, you know, we can't make a loss. If we can cut even, we're happy, you know. They're not even interested in making profit. They just want to cut even. And the way we do things, you ask him, right? We're like, we want to do everything and we think the whole world is free, right? But there's a reality, like everything that the people that we fly in, we have to house them. We have to set up equipments. We're using Ruang for the first time. So it's not a hotel where all the facilities are available. So we have to rent stuff. We have to build things. We want to create a good experience for people. And all this costs money. And where does the money come from? You know, a bit from sponsorship, a bit from the award submissions and from delegates who will pay. And we made sure that it's HRDF claimable so that, you know. So we are just targeting the marketers and the industry for now. But outside of the keynote sessions, the whole festival is open to public for RM50 a day, mm-hmm. day pass. And there's a lot of other things to see, to do also. And there's also a live feed of the talks in one of the floors. So we're hoping to get more participation like that. And we're also learning from this. First time we are organizing a so-called festival. And to be very frank, I didn't know there was a meaning to the word festival. I just thought if people come together to do stuff, it's a festival. We're learning. Maybe next year we'll take all these things into consideration, make it a little bit better, more accessible and all that.
I think this is year one, you know, and we hope that it's going to be a success. So we get sponsorship. More money, and we can make it more accessible for everyone. Yeah, I think for the keynote speakers, again, we've also, a lot of it is dictated by the space that we have. You know, we chose Ruang, we wanted to be in the middle of Kuala Lumpur, you know, and bring back some life to KL. So the space that we have can only take 300. We would want more people, you know, then it can obviously can bring down, lower the cost, but that's what we have right now. And I think for the public, there's a lot that they can still participate in. Like all the talks will be accessible. Even students, because this year we've got a student competition. So the schools are going to be able to come in at a reduced cost. So in the basement in Ruang, we're going to have all the student work. Then on the first and second floor, we have exhibitions, artists, sculptors, even some VR companies. And on the top floor, we've actually got the screenings of not just the entries, shortlisted entries, but we've also got a mini film festival. This year, we introduced the 666 Young Directors Challenge. So to reach out at a new new audience. So these are filmmakers, they're film students who may not end up in a commercial in the commercial industry, and we gave them a simple challenge based on the theme also, humankind. Come up with a 6-minute script, and we shortlisted six. We paired them up with the production houses, and they're producing it. So that work will also be available for people to view.
So all of these are, if you have the 50 ringgit day pass, are accessible to everyone who comes there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, we're happy to be here. I'm thankful to be here. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with the festival.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've been speaking to Alvin Theo and Iska Hashim, who are Creative Council Chairman and Deputy Creative Council Chairman of the Kanchils 2018. The Kanchil Festival is happening on the 26th and 27th of July at Ruang by Think City. For more information, visit kanchilawards.com. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on our BFM app. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.